Hello.
Rattling those pots and pans, are you?
I'm going to do that in a minute, yeah.
I just got done watching one of Red Ice's shows.
Right.
He crossed paths with some Canadians I crossed paths with.
Okay.
And I just listened to one. The other one I don't have to listen to because I'm very familiar with it. But I downloaded all the links there and studied what you gave me there last night.
Okay.
And the last part of his YouTube rant about your comments on your webpage, he suggested to his fans that everybody email you. I hear you.
Never mind, I what's happening. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's all like distorted.
That's right. I think I know what's happened. Hang on. Oh, that should be better now.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I haven't got my headset switched over properly. So how much of that did you hear?
I couldn't hear anything, really. It was all like distortion.
Yeah, it's just because it probably just faded off. So, his rant, he did that rant, and he, as you say, he asked people to,
I understand the scene. You don't have to, like, what I saw was, he had some guests on there that kind of made sly remarks about Judy Wood's work. You took issue with it. You weren't particularly slandering to him. You posted your thoughts about the topic on your webpage.
Right.
He read it, made a YouTube, took portions of your statements, attacked you, was rather abrasive, and you did a response. You recorded what you basically wrote out, a whole bunch of statements. I think there were 26 statements.
That's right.
And then you also spoke on Morgan Reynolds' show. I listened and studied it all. I understand.
Yeah, well, I was saying, that's great. I mean, you've obviously captured it perfectly. But I was just saying that about 8 of his listeners did actually write to me. Well, maybe not that many. Maybe 7. Less than 10. And some of them were quite sort of nasty, saying, oh, you know, I used to think you were a good person, and now I think you're a bad person, you know, and this sort of thing. And I said, have you actually read my article? And a couple of them haven't responded to that question. And then a couple wrote back and said, oh, I've read your article now. And I can see what you mean. In other words, you know, they just listened to Henrik. And they hadn't actually read what he was objecting to. Or they hadn't read all of it.
Okay, now, in the process of studying your case, like you provided the links there, right?
Uh-huh.
And I listened, but then I connected another dot.
Now, right.
But that said, I was sitting in my car late at night because that video player that you gave me a tip to,
yeah,
doesn't work. It's worse than the other one I downloaded.
Oh dear! Oh, that's a surprise because I thought that would work pretty well.
Now, every video player I've tried so far hasn't worked with these YouTube downloads
right.
that are coming now. I got one that will present the video, but not the sound. Or sometimes it'll give the audio, but
not the video. You said, yeah, you told me that yesterday. Yeah.
And the one that you give me the tip to won't show anything at all.
Well, it's surprising because that's meant to be one of the popular ones that works with a lot of different formats. So I'm surprised. It may be that there's something screwed up on your computer's configuration, and therefore it's not able to.
No. I checked that. It works with all the other video formats except that goddamn MPEG 4. I think it's something YouTube is up to that is they're getting proprietary. You give them their stuff and then they kind of own it.
Well, I know I haven't had any problems. I've downloaded lots. Well, I wouldn't say a lot, probably not as much as you, but I've downloaded a reasonable amount.
Recently?
Yeah. I downloaded that Henrik thing. And that was all right.
And what were you watching it in?
Well, I actually converted it to another format. But I'm just trying to think of the last thing I downloaded an MP4. I downloaded an MP4 about 2 weeks ago. It was called the Pyramid Code. It was a 3-hour job. I watched that.
Well, I've tried converting them, another format, and my converter will say, we'll convert this, but it won't have any audio. Because even the converter realizes there's no audio on the file.
Well, it may be that whichever downloader you used hasn't downloaded it in the best format, and it hasn't picked up the right format from YouTube when you downloaded it. Because I used two different YouTube downloaders. One is that Firefox plugin, and the other one is called FreeMake Video Converter. But that converts it. In other words, it does a download and convert in one go kind of thing. You can't get to see the downloaded file. You only see the converted file. Whereas the other one, that Firefox plugin, that allows you to download the file, save it, and then and then you convert it from there with a remake or something else.
I'm not going to worry about it too much now. But other than I have to stay in the car and watch YouTube lately. I can't download a bunch of stuff and take it back to the hole in the wall.
Yeah.
Because that's usually what I'll do is I'll go out, especially in the winter where it's so goddamn cold, I'll just download a whole mess of shit and go back to the hole in the wall and then study and read until I'm blue in the face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can download in an hour. It would take you 8 hours to read,
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
But anyway, all that said, I don't know if it's a treasure or proprietary or you just don't want to give it up, but I noticed that you had given to Red Ice a PDF file of Judy Wood's book.
Yes, that was a couple of years ago.
Is that a download?
3 years ago. No, it hasn't been made available for download. You didn't want to do that. Because she was afraid that somebody would, just produce a pirate version, as it were, and just sort of.
I suspected as much.
Yeah. Now, I think, I kind of disagree with her on that, really, particularly as we've got so many print editions. I think what she should do, really, to me, is produce an iPad version, it'd take a bit of work because of the formatting, but I think it'd be worth doing. There's so many people have got bloody iPads now and stuff,
Yeah. And well, most of the pictures that would be in the book are from the websites anyway, right?
Probably the majority, I would think. Yeah, but she has got one or two from other sources.
No biggie. Anyway, kind of bored because he had an hour-long rant about you and he was kind of redundant and it was like the great I am and it was kind of like the guy's a snob and he was just proving it to the world. Right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. But at the end of his hour-long rant, he suggested to his fan base that everybody email you.
That's right.
That gave me an idea, and I'd already started it out before you and I even discussed him.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I do the reverse, right? I'm going to take him and his work, in his words, and email it to some big cheeses.
Right.
Instead of asking people to email you, I'm going to take his stuff and email it to Obama's lawyers, say. You know what I mean?
Right.
His mindless malice with big people. And throw Brigitte in, you know? Something that only Dave can do. You understand? It's all under the heading of fun. But if he has two clues between his ears, right? I sent him 4 or 5 emails last year. I sent you some of his responses where he was calling me a spammer. Mm. Hey, did you see that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I'm a spammer. But like the first email I sent him was just between me and him. And I think they all were.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about the time that Brigida was speaking, I believe. There was something that caused me to be aware of his show, and I was going, attention, Red Ice.
Yeah. Right?
And it was just between me and him. I wasn't spamming him, right?
Right.
You know, and I was trying to give him some important information about something he had just done, and I believe it was Brigida Johnstadter, but I don't want to swear to him.
Yeah, it sounds like, that sounds like pretty likely. I mean, I think he was talking about WikiLeaks, so I suppose it might have got something to do with that, but yeah.
Yeah, you know,
That type of thing, yeah.
I can go back and check dates, but it's irrelevant, right?
Yeah.
Because immediately, instead of checking my work, he calls me names, and I like it when people call me names. I like a good scrap, right?
Hmm.
So I go by, and I like it people show me their other side of the gate, because that gives me the time to kick them immediately. Well, it's still fresh, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I turn around and I go, my, we know the score on you. And he answered to that one.
Mm.
Right? I think I sent you that exchange this morning.
Yeah, you probably did.
So anyway, and then I let it go. I mean, because he's just another internet bullshitter. And my issue is with Brigida and lawyers and parliamentarians and financial industries. He's one of many internet bullshitters. You know what I mean? He doesn't mean a lot to me. You understand?
Yeah.
And then the other day, I was going at Brigida again, right? And I happened to put you in the BCC line, and you commented about that particular thing as I was tearing a piece off Brigida. Right?
Right.
And you made a comment about Red Ice, and I don't know if I had told you about Red Ice or not. Right?
Okay.
Well, I for your benefit, without knowing what was going on between you and Red Ice, I was sending out emails to the world, as Dave does, and I just put him in the circle, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really notice that.
Got right? that. But yeah, okay.
But I did, and I put you in the BCC line of some of them. But he was just part of the circus, right?
Okay.
Now I'm going to try to make him start the show. Because, and I'm doing it for Dave reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Dave is all about Dave, and Henrik is all about Henrik, right?
I guess.
Now, the thing about, I have two possibilities why he attacked you so fervently in YouTube.
Right.
Because not a lot of people read these days. And for someone to go to check the evidence and actually read something that would take any longer than 3 minutes, right?
It's unusual for that to happen, correct?
Yeah. Now, no doubt, he Googles his own name like I Google mine.
Somebody else was saying this to me. Somebody else wrote to me and said they were sure that he, you know, he's got a Google alert for Red Ice Radio set, and you know, anything that pops up, he'll go and look at.
Yeah. So he was instantly aware that you had issues with him that questioned his integrity.
Pretty much.
And he took issue with it. Now, this guy, the last thing he is stupid. He's quite clever. And if you listen to his shows, whatever he's conversing with, he strikes me as the Swedish version of Coast to Coast.
Yeah, that's what he's aimed to be, I think, yeah.
Yeah. And he picks his topics to garner an audience, and he charges to access his show.
Correct.
His YouTube channel, he's selective in what he presents.
Correct.
I didn't notice Judy Wood there.
You're right, yeah, I didn't notice that until you told me. I did a search, and I think her name came up in a couple of the comments.
Okay. I went through all 700 of his videos before I told you this, because I, right?
Yeah, well, you can search them. You can do keyword search.
No, I physically searched.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, yeah, I'm sure he did. Mm-hmm.
Because, because I want to know everyone he had.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, all right, yeah, okay.
That's what I did, is I went to his YouTube videos and clicked more till I got to the bottom.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, all right.
Start at the top, and for instance, you're the, I think, the third latest, okay? Now,
yeah.
You go down, and his YouTubes go back about, I think it's 4 years.
Sounds about right.
Okay. But in January of 2010, you spoke with him, and at the time, he couldn't load hour-long videos, so he presented, I think it was 5 videos of your conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You aware of this?
I haven't seen that particular one, but that sounds about right, because that would be about an hour. Well, I think it's a bit over an hour, so yeah, all right.
I think it was 5 or 6, whatever, right?
Whatever, yeah.
Let's say it was 6, just for 10 minutes apiece, okay?
All right, yeah.
But there's commercials, you know, so I don't know. But anyway, all that said, he put a half a dozen, give or take, of you.
Okay.
Right after you, like if you're looking at chronological order.
Brigitte, yeah.
Right after you is Brigitte Johnstadter, 6 video.
Right.
So that meant hers were uploaded first.
Right, okay, yep.
Right? And I provided you the link to the last 10 minutes of her interview.
Yes, no, that's right. I listened to that just before you called, we just before you called just now. And he just mentions the conference at the end. That's correct, yes.
At Bath or whatever.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're a big enough cheese yourself that he deemed you worth mentioning as one of these esteemed speakers or people meeting at this thing, right?
That is true.
Yeah, well, he's giving you credit, right? And this is 2010, from my understanding, before he ever interviewed Judy Wood.
Correct. Judy was interviewed, took place in 2011.
But now, and you met him at the upcoming conference, and he was talking with Brigitte during the show about that conference, and he was inviting her to one on the second interview he had with her. Right? But anyway, he's all about self-promotion. This is what I'm getting at, okay?
Okay.
Anyway, that said, so am I. You can't damn him from that, you know what I mean? I'm being honest, right? And you had every right. I understood your argument to him, because you can have an opinion of what really happened, mm-hmm. but there's only one truth.
Right.
And if you know something to be true, well, you put that in the corner and try to work the rest of it out.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah.
And that's basically what you were trying to say.
Yeah, essentially, that's what I was trying to say, yeah. In essence, correct.
And what his argument was, he tries to give all sides of things.
Right.
right? Well, that's because he wants viewers.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
He wants an audience. He needs controversy.
Yeah.
For him to put on Barrett and that chemist or whatever that was putting down Judy Ward or whatever, whatever, right?
Hmm.
And for them to pick a hole in Judy Ward, the only problem I have with this reasoning is, why doesn't he offer Judy Ward on the YouTube?
Right.
If he's looking for the... So I'm thinking, well, maybe he is a corporate assassin looking to do in Judy Ward, but why would he put her on the show? Right? Mm-hmm. Right. So then I think to myself, okay, let's deal with just him and Andrew. Never mind Judy Ward.
All right.
He got notice and he saw you were putting him down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have credibility, right, and you have a fan base of people take truck in what you have to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he allows you to poke a hole in his stuffed shirt, his wallet will be deflated too.
Pretty much.
Right? So you attacked his money. So he attacks back to make you appear to be the crybaby little buffoon. Right?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
However, there could be an ulterior motive.
It could be.
If he causes a flame war with you and Judy Wood,
mm-hmm.
it garners an audience. People love to see the circus.
Go on.
You know what I mean? Like Jerry Springer, people tune into that to watch.
Well, yeah, I think I would, I know what you're saying, I can't totally disagree with it, but...
But there's two reasons, either he's protecting his reg...
I think it's more that one. I think to go for the, this public slanging match, I don't think many of his listeners are interested in that sort of thing. I could be wrong, because obviously I haven't spoken to all of them.
Well, I'm just saying that's a possibility.
It is a possibility. I don't think it's probably...
I think the first one is correct.
I would agree with you.
Yeah, because when he was talking to the chemist, because I'm being fair here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I heard the conversation with the chemist or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He may have known what the chemist was going to say. He might have been aware of some odds, you know.
Right, yeah.
But he did say about Dr. Judy Wood, and he did promote her and say, I'll send you some of her stuff. And the chemist played dumb initially.
He did.
And then, didn't he? And then, yep. And then he come back and said, basically, Judy's Wood works word, there's nothing to it. You know what I mean? But, he kind of sort of disagreed with him. But he didn't hop to Judy Wood's defense like you hoped that he should, right?
Essentially, that, yeah. I mean, I would word it slightly different to what you said, but yeah, essentially that's what I said, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so to give him the benefit of my doubt, it's and his argument to you, right? Although he edited, he should have read your letter in its entirety, right? He picked the stuff that he wanted to make you with. But... he says the format of his show is to promote discussion and let people decide for themselves.
It says Fox News. We report, you decide.
Yeah. And it's his show.
It is his show.
Right? And what you deem to be true does not always dictate what everybody else deems to be true.
Not always.
Right? So, he has his point. Right?
Only up to a point, because the way I argue it is, if you want to have a debate about the number of days in a week, then it's a fairly pointless debate. If you want to have a debate about whether the tower's turned to dust or not, it's a pointless debate.
How many days in the week?
Hmm? Pardon?
How many days are there in a week?
Well, it's recognized on most calendars in our culture that it's 7 days.
Yeah, that's according to your culture.
Yeah, but you know, you're
everyone,
playing this now. I mean,
Hamlet, You know, there's more things in heaven
and earth. I know. I've looked at all these philosophical arguments. In fact,
more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in your philosophy.
Well, indeed. But, I mean, I wrote about this because this is what Fetzer did. And I've written an article about this called, I forget the full title. It's quite a long title. But when he did this conference in Vancouver, where he actually puts on his webpage that this conference wasn't meant to solve anything, that we weren't going to draw any conclusions from it. He actually says that. But, you know, if you get into that sort of game, then you just...
I'm not playing a game. You picked the argument when you said days of the week, and I said, you want to argue that, right? Now, if you had picked a different argument and said, Dave, the sun is going to come up in the east tomorrow,
yeah,
I couldn't argue that.
Yeah, because, I mean, exactly.
But,
well, you know, you've got
you said something that man created, like days of a week, that's a fiction created by man so we can all agree on something.
That's
right? Right? So it depends on what man you're talking to, huh? Because you talk to Indians, they don't talk in days so much as moons, right?
Yeah.
So it depends on what culture you're from. That's the argument I was trying to prepare.
Yeah, okay, I mean, that's fair enough.
Yeah. But back to the nut you're talking to, right? Now, I'm the one guy that's persona non grata. I can basically say and do anything I want because everybody hates to admit that I even exist.
Apparently, this is true.
Which makes me powerful.
You're the invisible man.
Yes. And I can land in anybody's kitchen and piss on everybody's shoes, and nobody will say a goddamn word about it. So I have every right to piss on his shoes because he bounced back some emails of anybody with two clues between their ears and as smart as he is, if he'd scrolled down, they were right on topic to what he had just been talking about. That's why I sent them to him.
Absolutely.
And if you had looked at them at all, and I was providing links to support what I was saying was true, I'm providing documentation?
Yep.
Whose website do you see?
I haven't got the email in front of me, but you can tell me.
Check the evidence.
Yeah. You that's right. You should know that from that. Exactly. Yep.
Load my PDF files for me.
Yep. That is true.
Right? Now, although I've never said a word about Judy Wood, right? Or Andrew Johnson, right? Basically, right? They're always.
And that's it. I mean, you should. If he's interested in actually looking into things for himself, then he should be able to establish those connections.
Well, yeah. He had an interview with Brigitte Johnstadter, and I sent him emails between Brigitte Johnstadter and Julian Assange and me.
Yeah.
Supported by documents. Within a friend of mine's website.
Yep.
You see how I connected the dot?
Yep.
And that's 2010, before you loaded any of my documents in your website.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Yeah, I was wondering how long they've been there.
When you and I talked, it was November of 2009.
Yeah, I remember. But then I think I did the documents. It must have been probably about a year after that, wasn't it? Or
well, and I had a conversation. I sent you some emails, and you responded, and I said, I better talk to this guy. He looks like he might be an honest cuss. And I didn't know you knew Judy Wood. I didn't know you from Adam.
I know, but I was just trying to remember when I put those documents up. It's easy enough for me to go and check.
Anyway, I remember the times because I was watching Buddy's house while he was out moose hunting.
Mm.
And as soon as he got back, I went to the woods myself, and I never come out again until...
You were 6 months, weren't you, in the woods, I think, or something?
March of 2010, and one of the first emails I got was from fucking Julian Assange.
Wow.
I got the email from Julian Assange March the 7th, 2010. Now, Brigitte Johnstadter, if you listen to her show, if you start from the first of that show, I sent you the last, let me tell you about it. And it was on just before you were on, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Brigitte Johnstadter in 2010... I honestly didn't know who the hell she was.
Yeah.
In January 2010.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have heard the show. I was in the goddamn woods. right?
Right, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Right?
But and I wasn't aware of the show until last night.
Yep.
Okay? I was aware of the one in 2012, but not this one, right?
So very strange.
I'm listening to this show in January of 2010, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she has been a parliamentarian in Iceland for not a year yet. She got elected in 2009.
Right.
Right? Now, I was teasing Iceland big time since 2006. I'd sent hard copy to their president, stuff like that, in 2006. In 2008, when the economy was collapsing, I was getting emails from their prime minister and their minister of finance, right? I'd sent stuff to Julian Assange in 2008 because of his concerns about the banking industry and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I had sent stuff to Julian, to Birgitta Johnsdottir as a blogger, and as a parliamentarian.
Without realizing, yeah, you told me that yesterday, yeah.
Without knowing who she was.
And you worked out that you knew each other later on.
I realized that we had crossed paths over Bobby Fischer. But in 2009, after she was a parliamentarian, and while the economy was collapsing, and after the economy collapsed, like in 2009,
yeah,
I was sending her emails without knowing who she was. For instance, she spoke on CBC, and I sent her an email. Right?
Yeah.
But she wasn't affiliated with WikiLeaks then. Okay? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Now, if you listen to her show that you got the last 10 minutes of, it's worth listening to. It's because it's an interesting time capsule just before you spoke. Okay?
Yeah.
And the common denominator you have is me. Now, at that point in time, you were armed with more knowledge about financial crimes. If you'd listened to what I told you or read my emails, you were armed with it, right? Anyway, I'd sent you the information, right?
Yeah, no, I understood what you told me. I mean, because you went through and you showed me the central banking and all that, yeah?
You were armed with it.
Yeah.
More than she was.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Right? Because she got some of my emails, but she might have deleted them as spam or never read them. But she never had a conversation with me until later in the year, right?
Right, yeah.
But you had a conversation with me, and I did my best to explain, and you listened to me for quite a while, and we recorded the conversation.
We did. Anyway.
So anyway, that said, in January, before you got on the show to talk about chemtrails, etc., I didn't listen to your show, but that's what he says the topic is. Right?
We did bits and pieces, but yeah, one of which was the chemtrail stuff, yep.
And you probably brought up Judy Wood, and he took an interest in Judy Wood, right?
I will have done, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, I didn't listen to the show, I'm just presuming, right?
Right.
Because long after the fact, he put Judy Wood on. But initially, you had credibility because he mentioned you on the show before with Birgitta Johnsdottir. Now, Birgitta Johnsdottir, in January of 2010, when he put her on the show, she was not a draw. Nobody would know who she was or care to listen to her show unless you happen to be a political pundit in Iceland.
Right.
She was a relative unknown in January of 2010, okay? Even unknown to me, and I'm a fierce political pundit.
Oh, you are?
I was dealing with her prime minister and stuff, Joanna. He doesn't even know Joanna's name, and as I'm listening to them talk, I'm telling him who she is.
Yeah.
Because if you look at my emails, I'm sending my emails to Joanna after she became prime minister. She's a lesbian and a flight attendant. I know who the bitch is, right? You know what I mean, right? And I'm listening to this because he don't know, right? But he knows a great deal of stuff. And he's educating me as he talks to her.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's an important conversation because the guy is not stupid and he knows a lot of shit, right? And he was educating me as I'm listening to the show. One thing I heard him say to her was George Soros, the guy that is behind Democracy Now and the Occupy
Movement
and all the left.
Yeah, yeah.
His name is Swart. I know that, right?
Oh, I didn't know that, but yeah, all right, yeah.
Yeah, he's a rich Jewish fellow. But anyway,
that makes, okay.
But I knew that he is a monumental crook that made a great deal of money on the stock market. Now he bitches about the stock market, but that's where he made all his money, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't bother researching him. I really don't care because I haven't butted into him except lately.
Yeah.
When I realized that he is the man behind CCR, and I butted heads with CCR and their lawyers in 2003. But that's another story.
Yeah.
Okay? What? This guy in Sweden told me that I did not know was that George Soros went into Sweden in the 90s.
Yeah.
And bought a whole bunch of their currency and almost bankrupted Sweden.
Oh, really? I didn't know that either.
Neither did I. I said, that's something to research. But who's got the time? Doesn't matter. Got nothing to do with me. But it's worth knowing, right? And this guy's from Sweden, right? Now, that said, Birgitta Johnsdottir, at the time in 2010, is talking about IMF and the British and the Dutch paying their clients' banks, I think it was like 21,000 euros. There was 400 accounts or 400,000 accounts that went into default, and they were trying to save for their banks because Icelandic banks were linked into Lehman's. And you understand, I contacted Lehman's before they went bust.
Yeah.
But anyway, apparently there was Icelandic banks hooked into Lehman's, and there was, you know how everything was like a domino effect? And anyway, the Dutch and the British were trying to protect their account holders, so they were paying insurance on 400,000 accounts of the 21,000 euros a piece. I'm getting this education as I was listening to the show last night, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, and after they did that, then they said, all right, if Iceland wants bailed out, you have to pay this much damages that we paid out to our clients because it's your bank's fault. So they've tried to put it on the taxpayers of Iceland. But meanwhile, the banks have been privatized in Iceland. So why is the ordinary person problem in Iceland? You know, they were privatized banks.
Right. So
that said, they put Iceland on a terrorist list, and they weren't even going to, you know, for them to buy anything, they had to put cash up front because nobody could buy insurance to do business with them. And they're putting the strong arm on them. And that's what she was explaining in this show. It's worth listening to.
Right.
And she is a very clever lady, right? And knows her stuff. And she's trying to explain it. And like, as I say, you talk to her and she will melt your heart. Anyway, that said, she's explaining it. And this is the interesting part. This is January 2010. She's alluding to that she's up to something. And she said, WikiLeaks just released a document about IMF and Iceland. And she said, we have the editor of WikiLeaks on the island right now, and I'm meeting with him. And she said, we are up to something, and we should have another show in February or March, right? In February or so, and I will tell you something.
Yeah.
And she said this on the show. And he never had her on again until 2012.
Okay.
Now, that said, this is January 2010. She's unknown, and she's hinting to him, you should have a second show with me. You can hear her say it. And I'm going, I know exactly what she's up to, because Julian Assange sent everybody an email, not just me, but probably anybody in his email account on March the 10th. And that was the fact that he was in Iceland, and the Iceland had tabled a bill to create IMMI.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's what she was up to. But apparently, after that got going, and you can click on the links and you can see Birgitta Johnsdottir and him in a coffee house and them going on and her in Parliament tabling the bill for IMMI, and the people in Iceland said okay to it. They're also up to something else because he had that video for collateral murder.
Yeah.
So in about a month or so later, they released that. They become well known. And then I get other emails from Julian Assange. I don't know if you ever looked at them. WikiLeaks is under attack. Right? And I'm going, no shit, Sherlock. So am I. Because, you know what I mean? Right?
Yeah.
And basically, you can see where I'm telling Julian Assange to go fuck himself. Right?
Yeah.
You can see where some media people in Iceland, like the Grapevine, was saying, will you explain? And I said, let me put this real slow to you, buddy. You tell your buddy Julian Assange to go fuck himself. You know what I mean, right? Because they wouldn't read what I was sending them. I was sending them to you, Julian Assange's emails back and everything, and people don't read, right? And anyway, that said, by August of 2010, Julian Assange is over in Sweden, which is where this red guy, ice guy, is, right? And, he gets tangled up with some women over there, and they charge him with whatever.
Yeah.
And he scurries off to England, and then his circus starts. Well, right when that happens, McCarthy, that transistor McCarthy guy?
Yeah, yeah.
He sends me an email in August after ignoring me since March. Right? He sent, you know, this IMMI people.
Yeah, yeah.
That Brigitte Jones' daughter is the boss of, right?
Mm-hmm.
He sends an email telling me to go to hell, and I tell him to go to hell back. And then Julian Assange winds up arrested, and then his trials begin in England, basically trying to stay in England and all that crap, right? But that was by October, November. I had enough of these idiots in WikiLeaks and Iceland, because I remember I showed you that email where the woman had sent me money or sent me emails saying that Assange had ripped off all the donation monies for WikiLeaks. She was a member of WikiLeaks, and she
right.
sent the same email that she'd sent to the Prime Minister of Iceland while he was over there smoozing everybody in Iceland.
Right.
So anyway, Brigida, she exited stage right from WikiLeaks in November, but I didn't know it at the time. But she told me on the phone that she had quit because of Assange messing with women and he was disgusting. Right?
Yeah.
So she wanted no part of WikiLeaks. And then, bang, right about at the same time, the Americans arrested Bradley Manning, the young fellow that gave them all the shit.
Yeah, well, I think we mentioned some of this last night when we were talking. Yeah.
I'm just recapping.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if this is recording, fine, I don't care. But anyway, then everybody got on the bandwagon, poor Bradley Manning. Right?
Yeah.
And I sent emails about that to Canadians and stuff before she ever came to Canada.
Yeah.
And then, then I'm talking to her. She's coming to Canada. She snubs me. And then I get to go to hell from her after I defend her over Twitter and Gmail and Facebook.
Yeah. Right?
So then I've monitored her ever since, because that was 2011.
Yeah.
Right? So anyway, this year, in her last days as a parliamentarian, because she doesn't think she's going to get reelected, right?
Yeah.
She uses her status as a parliamentarian to make the scene in New York before Bradley Manning's trial begins. So she's doing speeches in New York. And
yeah.
By the way, now she's the WikiLeaks spokesperson again. She's no longer mad at this, right? So anyway, she's using her status as a parliamentarian to stop the Americans from arresting her in case they want to. You know what I mean? And she's using sort of her last days in office, and I'm downloading all the videos. Plus, I'm teasing her friends because she had created the Icelandic Pirate Party.
Yeah.
And I even got answers from her email or from her pirate friends. I sent you some.
Yeah, yeah.
And I even talked to them on the phone, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I didn't think she was going to get reelected. Neither did she. And Iceland, this last election, I don't know if you're aware, but I am. She was bitching, and everybody else was bitching on election night.
Right.
When she did the first count.
Yeah.
She thought she lost, because I was watching the election go down that night too. Right.
Right.
And she thought she lost, and she said people got a bad memory because it was like a right-wing government that had caused Icelandic problems, privatizing the bank and everything like that.
Right.
It was like a left-wing government that got in. And this election here went a landslide the other way, right back to the right-wing government, the guys that caused trouble in the first place. And she thought she lost, and she's going, people got a bad memory. But anyway, when they did the eventual recount the next day, she found out that actually she had won the seat. Her and one other pirate. And then I just pounced. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all over that, like a dirty shirt, right? Because she's back into Parliament for 4 more years. Well, perfect. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm using it for my political advantage. Because Dave's all about Dave, but she knows who I am, and I know who she is, and she ain't fooling me. You know what I mean?
Mm.
She's a player, like the rest of them. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And she sits there and bitches and moans that the rest of them are players, but who's she to judge? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's disgusting. But anyway, that said, back to 2010, she's talking to Henry. He understands the monetary system, sir. He understands the game. He's well informed. When he was telling that stuff about George Soros, that was enlightening. You know what I mean?
Right.
Even you and him were talking about, should have talked about Richard Grove. I remember when Richard Grove, nobody knew who he was. I tackled him out of the gate. Do you know who he is?
I was just reading some on screen. Tell me the last...
I heard you and Henrik talking about Richard Grove.
Oh, yeah.
I crossed paths with him out of the gate years ago. Do you know who Richard Grove is?
Well, I've listened to him a few times, but I don't really know who he is.
I remember crossing paths with him years ago.
I mean, he claims to have been involved in various software companies, and...
He was driving to the World Trade Centers on the morning the buildings went down. Do you know this?
Right.
He was driving to the World Trade Centers on the morning the building went down.
He says, yep.
Well, then you know about him. And he was supposed to have a meeting on basically the floors, I believe, where the plane's in. Right? But all that said, whether the plane's hit or not, he got delayed by traffic and didn't die with the building. So he says, it was a setup. They're going to whack me with the rest, and they had to get rid of the records, and da-da-da-da-da. But do you know what company he was talking about?
Right.
What company?
Oh, I can't remember now.
Marsh McLellan.
That's right. Yep.
Andrew, who owned Putnam Investments when I caused that hearing?
Probably Marsh McLellan, I don't know.
Yeah. That. You remember Stephen Cutler?
I vaguely remember you mentioning that name. You know all the names.
Yeah. Well, when I sent Stephen Cutler, Linda Thompson, she had to quit over Bernie Madoff, right? And all the SEC people, if you look at the same letter, it's going to Marsh McLellan because they own Putnam Investments.
Right.
And when he was talking about Marsh McLellan, I go, you don't know shit, buddy. And I'm trying to get a hold of him. Right?
Mm.
Really? And like for instance, if you look at my stuff, right? If you look at the email I sent to, or not email, the registered letter with a whole pile of documents to Stephen Cutler and Marsh McLellan, etc.
Yeah.
You'll see the name Greenberg.
Yeah.
That's son of the guy that was the boss of AIG. Right? I don't know if you know who AIG is.
The big insurance group.
Yeah. But
massive.
Like, yeah. Like, if these guys want to argue money, I take me on. You know what I mean, right? Because, like, I say names, I can provide my documents. Who got this, when, why, and I know what I'm talking about. That's what makes me dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm. I point at that person. And, like, I can point at anybody I wish. Like, do you know who the head of the Royal Bank of Scotland is?
Well, I mean, I don't know all the details that you do.
Keller, yeah, I emailed him. I talked to his help. You know, I know them.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, I ain't shy, man.
I know.
Right? Because I ain't lying. And see, these are publicly held companies that you say they, you know, the money comes out of nothing. Well, everybody knows that, mm. right? But they create it to their advantage. You know what I mean? It's all a big bullshit game. The whole thing is what they call corporate fiction. That's what it is. You know what I mean? Mm. Right. But what's real is you and me and the kids. Right?
That's right.
But anyway, all that said, he understands the game. Birgitta John's daughter understands the game. And ain't nobody telling it.
Yeah.
You understand? And, like, the proof of the pudding is they don't even have the balls to say my name.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Because God forbid people start listening to me. You got me?
Yep.
If somebody just understood what I've been saying for a month about Russell George, the Inspector General of the Tax Administration.
Yeah.
Obama will be impeached tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
All people have to do is listen to me. If you look at that email, I couldn't make it any more brief and provide the links. Russell George knew everything before Barack Obama was even a U.S. senator. Obama was torpedoed by a Republican. Russell George is a Republican. If you, I even sent his bio to explain who Russell George is. Right?
Right.
But that's never going to happen because you got to understand the game. Obama,
oh, yeah.
Player like everyone else. When you look at Russell George and the GOP embarrassing Obama, that's just two factions, like Koch brothers, because Teddy Olson represents the Koch brothers, right?
Right.
And Obama works with George Soros. It's the left-right paradigm. It's like the chess game, right?
Yeah.
And they have two sides on the board. But who owns the board? Whose shit are they playing with and lies? Us!
Oh, yeah.
We're the pawns in a big, big game, and the board is our assets.
Yep, that's right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, do you?
It's a game. And they want us to talk about politics about Obama or Romney. Now, if you listen to Birgitta John's daughter, and you really should on her first interview, because she's a neophyte of politics, right? And she talked about their movement. And what she said was absolutely correct. But she was instantly corrupted. Because she said, we merged a bunch of protesters, you know, because Iceland went bankrupt. We took a bunch of protesters, you know, that remember they got all upset at Christmas time when their economy collapsed in 2008?
Yeah.
Anyway, she said, and she's a very clever lady. And she's got shitloads of personnel. Anyway, she said, we merged a bunch of protest movements, and she said, we made a checklist of what we wanted. You know, we want this, we want that, you know what I mean? And then she said, as our checklist, she said, if the left would help us with this, then we courted them. And if the right would help us with this issue, we courted them. She said, we didn't take left or right sides. We just wanted our issues addressed. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So then if you listen to her speeches in her last day of office in New York, you can hear her voicing disappointment. And she's swearing and
flashing. Oh, told me, yeah. Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
And
giving us a finger.
Yeah, she and her friends had worked hard for nearly 4 years to write a new constitution for Iceland and you know, maintain their checklist and try to make a change for the better, right? And worked all hard and diligently in conferences and lots of paperwork and committees and stuff you can only imagine, right? And then in the last days of the Icelandic parliament, as they're trying to put the bills and acts through to make changes to the positive faction, this all has to be voted on, right, by members of parliament. All of her friends torpedoed her, right?
Yeah.
Because they don't want change. They don't want to change the rules of the game, right?
Yeah.
But she understands this as well as I do, probably more so.
Yeah.
For her to be lamenting about it 4 years later, after I suffered for 4 years and she ignored me, calls me rude, right? And then I see her being rude in public. I'm going, cry me a river, lady, right? So on election night when she was losing, of course I'm being vindictive, mean old Dave, right? But I'm using her celebrity to my advantage. I'm teasing the new politicians coming in. Right? Because one of them might be ethical.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what I was up to, right?
Yeah.
I'm just looking for some ethical soul somewhere that has a grip on the mainstream media microphone that
yep.
will say my name and save my dumb ass. I've come to the stark conclusion I can't save the world. But if people listen to me, I could make a little bit of a change by embarrassing some pretty big people. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
And people can keep me absolutely honest because you could shut me up. You could put a bullet in my head tonight. You've got some of my work.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all over the internet. So even if I did make a deal with the devil and take a payoff and ride away into the sunset, the work still exists. The documents are still there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But everybody talks about the whistleblower, but nobody gives a damn about the whistleblower until he gets famous. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Until you are known as a whistleblower and your issues are recognized, you're in jeopardy, buddy. I know. I lived it. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm one of the few that's it's lasted this long, I swear. I know what I've done. I know who I've talked to. But anyway, that said, this Red Ice character, he's got an audience. And I looked at all the guests that he promotes, right?
Mm.
And initially out of the gate, I see what do you call him, David Eichel or Ike or whatever, that Lulu? What's his name?
Yeah, yeah. David Ike.
He's got him all over. First shows and stuff.
Mm.
So it kind of told me that he was probably running on that guy's coattails.
Mm.
Right? And now he's kind of branched out, but I see he's got many issues from the economy to UFOs to anything, just like coast to coast, or, you know what I mean? Right? He's got them all. He must have a fair audience. He must be making a buck on what he's doing.
Well, if he's got 1,000 subscribers, which is probably a fairly conservative estimate,
yeah,
he's getting 5,000 euros a month from that.
Yeah. He's probably doing all right, so.
Yeah, I'd say he probably is.
I would say that if you were a threat to his fairness or credibility or caused some doubt, you would be a threat to his pocketbook, so I think that's why he attacked.
I pretty much agree with you on that.
So, okay, I've done my little rant. Now here's what I'm up to, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I would never say your name because I'm in such a world of shit. I didn't want to get you and your family in trouble, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I see no harm in this, in the sense, because nobody will ever say my name.
Yeah.
Right? So, all the people that I'm sending the email to, if they have a clue at all, they can see your website.
Mm.
I mean, they always have. You know, you didn't mind loading my stuff in your website, right?
Mm.
So the really nasty guys, I know they're listening to this conversation probably.
Probably so.
So for me to tell the truth in the sense that I'm a little miffed that this jerk would insult a friend of mine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does he have the balls to argue me in front of all these other assholes?
No doubt it.
In writing.
Mm.
He can't say he doesn't know I exist because he already answered me, called me a spammer.
Mm.
He can't say I don't know you. You've got my documents loaded on your website. He can't say I don't know Brigida John's daughter. I've got her answers, right?
Mm.
He can't say I don't know Rick Simpson, who he has on his show. I ran in Rick Simpson's writing. My daughter knows him. I've talked to Rick Simpson, and he's famous worldwide. He's from Amherst, Nova Scotia.
Oh, I did not know that. I know of Rick Simpson, of course, but I don't know him personally.
Well, I talked to him when he and I were both running in the same election.
Ah. Huh.
I got his voicemail. He's a fucking idiot. When I was talking to him, right? I had the same cops that had him on charges, right? Over a barrel. And he was running as an independent where my daughter lives, Nova Scotia, right?
Right.
And I was running as an independent in New Brunswick. And I said, and, you know, he said, you know, I use this oil. Like, he's not a pothead or nothing. He uses this oil and it helps people with cancer. I understand. He's right. Right? And,
right.
And he gives it away. He doesn't make any money. He's not a bad sort at all. Right? But the kids will love him around Amherst so they can smoke dope. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Right?
Right.
They promote him because they like smoking dope. They don't care about the cancer issues. The older folks do. Right? But anyway, the cops, they were kind of gentle with him and just kept cutting down his dope, taking it away and saying, now you quit this, Rick. And he kept doing it, so they charged him. And that's when I run across him, when he was running for public office. And I said, listen, I can help you with the cops in a different way. I know them cops are crooks, and like all you got to do is say my name because you've got a bigger audience than I do. Right? No way. And then he wouldn't listen to me. They charged him. And then he was going to go to jail, and he had to run off to Europe.
Yep.
Chicken shit, right? Well, that's what I had to do in the States. They're going to lock me up forever just to shut me up. I had to leave the country.
I don't know, man. Mm-hmm.
Right? But all he had to say was say my name, but he wouldn't say my name. He's scared of my shit. He looked at my stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My stuff's pretty heavy.
All
right. Anyway, that said, He likes the audience because everybody in the world likes to smoke dope. And, you know, he's a big hero to them. So he gets on all the talk shows and da-da-da-da-da. And Canada's talking about legalizing dope. So he's back in the country and prancing around here like he owns the place. Right? They made movies about him, Phoenix Tears or whatever. You know what I mean? Right?
Right.
But he knows the truth. And he ain't saying it. Huh? But all that said, the other guy that he just had on just not too long before he bitched about you is one of these free men and apparently just got out of jail. Eh? And I knew he was in jail. His name's Dean Clifford.
All right, yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm familiar with that name, yeah.
Yeah. Well, do you know Rob Menard?
I think I know him, yeah. Yeah.
Rob Menard and I have been at it for years.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Me and the Freemason assholes go back, or Freeman go back, you know. they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk.
Mm-hmm.
And, before Dean Clifford got locked up in February, me and the Freeman in Canada were really going at. They teased me, eh? They send me emails, send me messages, and go on, right? Because I understand what they're talking about, but I say you're not going to get anywhere with this. You know what I mean, right? But anyway, right. They got a huge. I've been fighting with them since what, 2004. I think you might have seen some of my emails where I was battling with them at Christmas time. Anyway, that said, Clifford, he's pretty smart. And so is Robert Menard. Like, and they're good public speakers, and they got good videos, and what they say is true, but good luck with that one, buddy. Anyway, they keep going to jail. Or not Menard. He's clever enough not to push it. But Menard ain't as smart as he thinks he is, because a girl had his kid, and he conned the girl into not getting a birth certificate.
Right.
And, they took the kid. Upset her.
Wow.
And he formed the Elizabeth Bain Society, you know. Well, you didn't do that kid any favors, Mr. Menard, but then maybe you did, because it doesn't have you for a daddy no more. You know what I mean? He's quite a yo-yo. Anyway, that said, this, Dean Clifford, he's quite clever, and he got kind of run out of BC, which was where Rob Menard was, and still is. And but Rob Menard's from here, from the Maritime.
Yeah.
And not too far from where I am right now, they got like a secret camp up in the woods. And, you know, somebody's holding the land in trust for them. They're all like, they're weird, huh?
Yeah.
And you can't talk to them on the phone and everything, but they want to yap all over the radio, and they want to sell their CDs and their books and give lectures.
Mm.
They're crows. You understand? Just crows. So anyway, Dean Clifford he got arrested there in February, and then I was listening to a guy in Sweden talking to him. He's been out of jail for a while. I didn't know he was out of jail. I didn't bother checking. Right? And he had embarrassed the RCMP, and they stayed the charges, right? So I had a good time listening to the show. And then I couldn't get over this. This Dean Clifford was too dumb to realize that he was talking to a guy in Sweden, not the USA. He thought he was talking, he thought that Henrik was in the USA. So I don't know. Anyway, all that said, I would only do it with your permission, but I haven't quite picked my words just yet. Henrik had suggested that his fans email you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to flip it around and email everybody about him. Mm-hmm. Send stuff to you. I'm taking his stuff and sending it to everybody, right? And I figured I'd make some comment about how I came across his YouTube and your lament. I know about your lament because you're a friend of mine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at your site, saw his YouTube, and I side with my friend in this issue because I already know Red Ice and Brigitte John's daughter are arseholes. And I know my friend is not, right? Right, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't picked my words yet. But I wouldn't put a link to it or offer an opinion until I talk to you.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Now, one thing I did do, and I did it in the middle of the night, was he had a tweet promoting his rant about you.
Oh, did he? Okay, yeah.
A tweet. And I answered the tweet, and I said something like the effect, I see you're attacking my friend, you got the balls to argue me or something. I forget what it was, like 4 in the morning when I wrote it, right? But if you type in his name, Twitter, you can probably see the comment.
Yeah.
And and I haven't got any notification that he answered it, right?
Right.
But I do know for a fact, I did some of the emails that I sent him and Brigida as I was teasing them, and they didn't know you were involved there on Friday and before. I sent them notice that I had posted the emails in a blog that a guy calls My Rant.
Oh, yeah.
And then I checked the site meter, and I saw several Iceland go there immediately. I'm just having a quick look right now. See if I see Sweden. Right? No. No. But I did see Iceland go there.
You know,
the guy only shows like the last 10 hits. But anyway, so I know I got Brigida worried.
I bet.
You know, Jack? And when I was teasing her, I don't know if you noticed, but I supplied the link to her talking on the Red Ice show.
Right.
So she might figure it out. I don't know. But she probably has no clue as to who you are.
Probably not.
But I figured I'd introduce you. If it's okay with you.
Why not?
Good for you.
She probably won't, you know, wouldn't tie anything to me particularly of any interest to her, I don't think, not unless she starts digging.
Well, Brigida is worried about Bradley Manning, WikiLeaks, and Iceland.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this. As soon as 9/11 happened, she went straight to New York. She used to live in and around New York. It's all vacuum cleaners.
Ah.
And as soon as 9/11 happened, she went straight to New York and read poems and sight and stuff. She has big concerns about 9/11.
All right.
If you could, like, you're the nice guy and I'm the jerk, right? Nobody will say my name, right?
Right.
But if I throw you and Brigida and President Obama's lawyers and Red Ice and everybody in the same soup, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're already there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't know that you're my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Right? As I told you should talk to those guys at the Pirate Party in England. I gave you their contact number.
Yeah, I say there's, I haven't really done that, but the guy, Loz K, he's on my Facebook page. He's one of the Pirate Party guys in the UK.
Well, she's in the Pirate Party.
Mm.
Right? Right? If you could get Brigida Johnstadter to be a champion for Dr. Judy Wood and 9/11, Mr. May, you'd be on the map then.
Maybe.
You would be with WikiLeaks. She's a spokesperson for WikiLeaks. Now, she might not like me, but she'll love the hell out of you. You're not rude. Dr. Judy Wood, why wouldn't you talk to her? Why wouldn't you look at the book? The book's goddamn interesting. Is she aware of the book or not? Let's make her aware of it. Huh?
Mm.
What harm? Now, I can say what I want about Brigida and my opinion of her. It ain't no theory. I lived it. Right? Everything that I've done with the Justice Department, I went to court. Right? Fetzer has an opinion Stephen Jones has an opinion, right?
Mm-hmm.
At least Brigida got a lawyer and took him to court. Or not Brigida, Dr. Wood got a lawyer and went to court. At least Brigida sat in Parliament, right?
Mm-hmm.
At least I sued people. At least I ran for public office. What does Fetzer, this Red Eyes guy, do but talk?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That said, Dr. Judy Wood has a hardcover book with pictures of an event that Brigida John's daughter traveled to New York and read her poems at the site. I mean, you know, she's familiar with New York. She's got friends in New York. They're all worried about 9/11 years ago. They might find an interest in Dr. Judy Wood's book. They might. You know what I mean? I don't know why they wouldn't. It's interesting. You know what I mean? All that said, they might not ever talk to me, but you can't deny I didn't have arguments with the 9/11 Commission. I got the emails. Remember?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, right? But 9/11 is not a big thing in my life, right? The my concerns about the lawyers, taxmen, the feds, cops that have arched. That's what I'm a whistleblower about. You understand?
Right.
I'm not a witness to 9/11 other than the players. Now, one of the biggest players, Ted Olson, his wife Barbara went into the Pentagon, so to speak.
Yeah.
You heard the reports that she's traveling the world? Have you heard that gossip?
Yeah.
But Barbara Olson's been spotted elsewhere? Have you heard that gossip?
Oh, I've heard that. I don't know how true it is, but I've heard it.
Yeah. I heard just gossip. Interesting, huh?
Well,
But anyway, all that said, if there were no people in the planes or no planes went into the buildings, where are the people?
Indeed. Good question.
All right. Oh, and there was one other very important thing. 9/11 lawsuits?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how closely you read my emails, but I pointed them out. And it's in my emails, right?
All right.
Another link to the Madoff matter and 9/11.
Yeah.
Was Judge Chin. Now, he was the judge that allowed Bernie Madoff to plead guilty and put all the documents, including mine, under seal.
Yeah.
He was also the judge for the 9/11 lawsuit with Philip Berg and that woman from New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
No.
Well, that I dealt with both matters. Al Gore and Guy Tunnell answered me. I talked to Philip Berg.
Oh, yeah. I think, yeah, you mentioned maybe a while ago that you probably touched on that.
And Judge Chin was the common denominator. I even went up to, I think her name was Ellen Moraney or something.
Ellen Mariano, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I went up to her lawyer's place in New Hampshire in 2004, right after I got out of jail.
She's just been sanctioned, by the way, Ellen Mariani, recently.
Been what?
Sanctioned.
For what?
For another case, because she started another case or did an appeal or something.
Well, the last time I looked at her matter was I even took on this big law firm in Boston.
Had yeah.
Got to her stepkid and had went into her husband's probate matters. And were going after their money, kind of like what they did with my wife and I.
Right.
And they were making her, like, apparently her husband's daughter wasn't her daughter, and they were causing a dispute, and she had this big gas GOP law firm. I attacked them too.
Yeah.
Right? But I tried to talk to her in person, and I couldn't get past her lawyers.
Right.
I talked to a friend of hers one time and said, would you please tell her what I give to the lawyers? And I sent him a copy of the letters and stuff.
Yeah.
And I said, I can't help people that can't help themselves. But I did talk to Philip Berg. And
right.
And it was a strange coincidence because I send all the stuff. You can see it in my script site. It's called Al Gore.
Yeah.
Because it was, I think it was in 2004 when I sent the stuff. I think it was. And I try to find an address for Al Gore, and he just bought this media company in Tennessee. So I sent the stuff there. And years later, he come out with that Inconvenient Truth movie.
Yeah.
And it was that's where I sent it. It was where he produced that movie, but it was before the movie ever came out. And now he sold that media company to a bunch of Arabs for a huge profit.
Wow.
Al Gore is a monumental crook.
Oh, I know. He's a major crook, isn't he?
And one of my enemies just died last night. Did you see me gloating about that?
No.
Paul Salucci died last night. Do you know who he is?
Nope.
He was governor of Massachusetts when my trouble started in Massachusetts. And he knows the mobsters on these tapes. They were prosecuted when he was lieutenant governor. And anyway, in 2002, if you look at that document, Integrity, Right?
Yeah.
You'll see where I served the CBC and the U.S. ambassador in Canada in July of 2002, signature required to CANPAR, right?
Yeah.
Well, as soon as Bush got elected, he made Paul Salucci, who was buddies of George H.W. Bush, he made him ambassador to Canada. So in 2002, when I went to Canada, before I went down to Bermuda, I sent CANPAR stuff right to Paul Salucci. Whole pile of documents in July of 2002, signature required. And as soon as I got back from Bermuda, back in the States, Secret Service and everybody pounced on me. And just as I was sending the sheriffs out suing everybody. And within a few weeks of that, you could look at the documents called the one called Cross Border. You can look at my lawsuit, the first lawsuit. You look at the top, you'll see a fax from the legal services of New York. And the only reason they had my lawsuit and everything is because they got it from Salucci.
Yeah.
And Ashcroft faxed Michael Sullivan, and Michael Sullivan gave me the original fax. They're such a buffoon. I got the fax from legal services to Michael Sullivan, which was my complaint, with the fax number at the top, and highlighted in yellow the statements of my lawsuit that concerned the U.S. State Department the most. I couldn't believe how stupid they were.
Yeah.
So anyway, when the U.S. attorney removed the matter, I wasn't surprised because I saw what they were up to. They give me the evidence. This is the U.S. State Department. You know what I mean? But anyway, you can see they're not lying, because you'll see the legal services fax number at the top and the date that was sent, and then you look at the rest of the documents and you can see when he removed it to the federal court and how he did it illegally. And then there's another judge that's in common is Judge Stearns. If you look at that cross-border document that you have loaded in your website, mm-hmm. You look at Judge Stearns' judgment doing things illegally against me. He was the same judge that just got knocked off the bench in the Whitey Bulger matter.
Right.
There's another common denominator. And see, his best buddy is Robert Mueller, the director of the FBI. It's all kinds of dots to connect everywhere. But I know I ramble on, but when somebody acknowledges my documents, it's not my fault they don't read them. You know what I mean? Especially if you're a U.S. attorney or a U.S. special counsel or speaking for an attorney general, right?
Yeah.
Or the police, you know. Andrew Johnson's not required to read my stuff, right?
Right.
But Brigitte Johnstadter, as a parliamentarian concerned about the financial industry in her country, she should have read them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, I don't care what she says. Like, I had a conversation with her, and I, you know, easily I can explain stuff right off the bat that would be interesting to her. And I did. You know what I mean? And she clearly understood me. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. Anyway, I thought I would just, thanks for letting me, I'm going to provide links to his Spit and Chew, what you have to say, and to Morgan Reynolds' show.
Yeah, if you wish.
And I'll just say that basically I'm supporting you and not Fonda Henry. All right?
Yeah.
And I'll try to word it in such a way that I'll leave the door wide for you to go, Brigida, I see that you were on this show right after me. You know what I mean? Are you aware of Dr. Judy Wood? Henrik is. You know what I mean? Maybe you can approach her or send Dr. Judy Wood book in such a way that she might take an interest in it. Right?
Yeah.
Say, Brigida, are you concerned about what really happened in 9/11? I won't put words in your mouth.
Well, I can also bring in this Los K character, because he will know Brigida, and he's one of my Facebook friends.
Yeah. Well, but what I would do is I'll leave the door open for you.
Yeah, all right.
You know what I mean? I'll talk about Brigida and Henrik and not mention Judy Wood so much as I'm just speaking in defense of a friend, because I don't like Henry, and I ain't fond of Brigida, right?
Yeah.
And I've noticed that Brigida spoke before on, Andrew did, right? And that might just be able to put the foot in the door for whatever you want to do, right?
Yeah.
And never forget the Pirate Party connection. You know what I mean? And you can say, listen, I notice you're with the Pirate Party, and I know this guy, or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of light in the field, eh? I won't put words in your mouth, but I'll just do what I do, and everybody will ignore me, but use it to your advantage. Huh?
Yeah.
I see no harm. And I'll know if it's taken an effect, because I'll post what I say to them in my rant, and then watch the site meter.
Mm-hmm. I pasted you a link, by the way, about the Mariani sanctioning.
Is that right?
Yes, yeah, just on your Skype window.
My heart goes out to her. I don't know why she don't listen to me.
Indeed. Well, I think she's a bit dumb, actually, from what I've picked up.
Is that right?
I just an impression. I've never spoken to her. I've listened to her on a couple of interviews and that, and she seems like a nice enough woman, but I think she's just a bit naive, and people have probably taken advantage of her for that reason.
I'd say so. I got no Skype window with a link.
Hang on, let's see, let's check. I put it in the right place. It's in your chat. You know, you need to click below my face, below my picture, and go into the chat window.
Below your picture, it says Andrew Johnson.
Should be there.
I'm not that familiar with Skype.
There's a little there's a little blue speech bubble just on my picture. You need to put your mouse on my picture first.
Yeah.
And then there's a little blue speech bubble.
Nope, not on mine.
Put your mouse over my picture.
Yeah.
And then
nothing happens.
Don't you get like a little picture of a phone and that, and a microphone and a camera, little icon thing?
I'm looking at a great big, but just a minute here, it says show IM.
Yeah, show IM, that's the one, click on that.
It's off to the left, there's a thing. Okay, I see it now. Yep. The Skype, I'm on it rarely, and half the time when I boot it up, it'll
keel over.
Refresh itself, make a new, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm looking at something. I'm just getting used to the old one, and I'm looking at a new one. Huh? Yeah, okay. Anyway, I'll let you go to bed and see to your kids. But
yep.
I'll send you. It'll be a minor rant, and I'll be selective in what I do. For your benefit, I'll try to work in 9/11 somehow.
Okay.
You know, I mean, see if I can pique an interest there. But I keep pounding on the money, eh? Because you think people would be interested in money.
Oh, you would, yeah, yeah. I think it's too complicated for most people to understand, though. I mean, you know, I mean, not all of it, but some of it.
Well, it's real simple.
Well, I know. I think it is to us, because you know, and to you, because you've studied it so much. But
well, I ask the obvious question to people, right? Like, the Senate Banking Committee has a public hearing about the financial industry.
Yeah. Right?
Where did the transcript of the webcast go? From both the Congressional Records and C-SPAN.
Yeah.
Don't you find that interesting? Right? And I go, look, they're gone, right? The transcript's gone. You see the hearing happen, where's the transcript? That's supposed to be the public record forever, right? And then I show them the PDF file from your site, the Integrity IRA, and I show them three documents, you know, from the Deputy Prime Minister of Canada, the Department of Homeland Security, and Elliot Spitzer testified that day, all with the same date of the hearing that's missing. And I say, do you think I'm joking? Right?
Yeah.
And nobody ever calls me a liar. Don't believe me. They just don't want involved.
Yeah.
And if I really up the ante and I say, well, just type in David Raymond Amos wiretap tape number 139, click on the player and listen to it. Do you think that wiretap tape is contrived?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I say, as you're listening to it, please understand you're violating their Fourth Amendment rights. Even if he's not planning a hit in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Right? What about all the other people? You're violating their rights. As you listen right now, on the news right now, Keith Alexander, the boss of the National Security, right, is running defense about Obama's right to monitor the internet and listen to the phones, right? Because of the Patriot Act? What have I been bitching about since day one with these wiretap tapes?
Yeah.
Right? And Whitey Bulger's trial starts. It's been going on and going on, and it starts. It's actually starting this week. You know what I mean? You think somebody would be interested in these tapes? They're directly related to his trial. They threw them in the garbage when they gave him the tip to run off. These tapes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And never mind the financial crimes. The wiretap tapes are good gossip because, Christ, they've made Hollywood movies about Whitey Bulger.
Yeah.
And if people look at that and they go, don't want nothing to do with me. You know what I mean? Right? And I'm going, well, what's the problem? I'm still alive.
Yeah.
Huh? I know you believe me,
I know what you're telling me is true.
It's so frustrating, huh?
Yeah, we have the same problem for different reasons, you know, in terms of getting people to sort of pay attention and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I mean, you're right about saying, you know, you think people would be more interested in the money, but it's such a huge conspiracy, really, or maybe that's not quite the right word, but you know what I mean, that people can't, it's like, you know, I mean, another time I'll tell you a story about when I tried to sort of talk to my brother, you know, and stuff.
Yeah, okay, I'll let you go. I'll think of a way to...
All right.
For you to put in the door, and maybe we'll all make out like bandits.
All right then, Dave, yeah.
Have a good one.
Yeah, I'll speak to you soon.
Yeah.
Bye for now. Bye.